The Oregon College Savings Plan can help you support your kid's future career as a teacher. Airplane driver? No, their career as a hairstyle designer. As a dinosaur doctor? Oh, their future job as a windmill builder. No, an ice cream taster. You know what? We just don't know what they want to be yet. But while they figure it out and dream big, we're here to help you save for what comes next, whatever that may be. Learn more at OregonCollegeSavings.com.
If you've considered personal development, or if you own a business or manage a business, and you're really trying to step things up, today's guest is going to be amazing. Welcome to the Awakening You podcast, reminding you that the answers are within. My name is Scott Goyette, and I'm your host. Each week in this podcast, I will be sharing some simple yet very useful tools to help you dive deep and discover how infinitely powerful you really are. The show is based on specific growth models created by the Go Love Now movement that will help you choose love and move through your fears. The love model, L-O-V-E, stands for listening, observing, voicing, and empathizing. The fear model, F-E-A-R, stands for forgiving, eliminating beliefs that no longer serve you and may have never served you, accepting yourself and others where you or they are at in their journey, and rising up and becoming resilient. During each podcast, my amazing guests will share their experience with using these tools and how you might benefit from using them as well. All information shared during this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing from this podcast should supersede the directions of a doctor or mental health professional. And today's guest is an amazing friend of mine. She is not just a friend, but she's a personal development coach and also a business coach. And I can tell you this much, she is excellent. Welcome, Sally Anderson. Hi, Sally.
How you going, man? Appreciate the opportunity to contribute today.
I love it. So, Sally, I want to start with the work that we've been doing together, and everything you've been sharing with me has been absolutely blowing me away. And the processes that you've created and the things that you've done are mind-blowing. There's no doubt that our audience needs to hear that stuff. So my first question for you today is, as a personal development coach right now in this world, there's so many people struggling with COVID, with racism, all these things going on. Where do people start? Where do people start to just dig deep and where are we going with this world?
So although there is a viral pandemic in place, there's also a fear pandemic in place that is on the highest Richter factor that I think the planet's ever seen. So in my observation, given that I work in the area of raising people's awareness around operating at a higher level of consciousness so that they're not impacted by things, I mean, what would your life look like if you weren't impacted by external circumstances? The majority of the planet are operating at quite a lower level of consciousness, which is why you experience anxiety, pressure, overwhelm, all of those disempowered feelings. All of human suffering is a function of what we make things mean. You cannot be impacted if you are connected. So I specialize in the area of co-creation. So who you are in your human form is limited, who you are in your co-creative form is limitless. A lot of people at the moment are fearful of uncertainty. And yet we were born fearless, we were born connected, and we were born intuitive. That was our birthright. When you look at little kids, they don't have an issue with uncertainty. They actually revel in it. And yet the irony, all of the magic and the miracles of what it is that you can create lies in the uncertainty. So as far as your listeners are concerned today, because I'm very big on practicality, what can you do? I always work in threes. So the first thing of three that I would recommend is acknowledge, first of all, from the moment you get up in the morning to the moment you go to bed, if you're feeling disempowered by circumstances, what's happening to you, the financial status, the relationships that you're having, whatever's impacting you right now is a function of being disconnected. And you are feeding thought structures that are either past-based or future-based. And you're feeding those, which is where that beautiful thing called worry comes from. Worry is creating your imagination to create that which you do not want. So you got to acknowledge, okay, if I'm feeding this past and future-based projection, creating worlds that have no validity but the validity to which you're giving them, the first thing that you can do is acknowledge that. I call it SSD, serious significancy and drama. Most human beings are addicted to SSD. So get a sense of humor in that moment. Get a sense of humor. Acknowledge that you're projecting. Come back to the present moment. Now, this is the kicker. I'm not personally religious, but I am a stand for people to connect into their heart space. I'm not too perturbed what you call it, higher power, universal force, collective consciousness, God, but connect in to this may be an opportunity for you to leverage your faith in a way that you never have. Most people relate to faith like lotto. You know, only when the going gets tough do I actually think about that thing called faith, which is ironic. Faith is available 24/7, high volume. You know, you can tap into it. It's free any moment of any day. So maybe it's an opportunity for you to actually be in the exploration. There's three camps usually where people are with faith. They either have no relationship to it, you know, kind of like the atheist angle. In the middle, they kind of like tap in every now and then, depending, or those that are like myself who are connecting 24/7. So first thing is you're disconnected, you're feeding these projections, come back to the present moment, and maybe there's an opportunity for you to actually learn to live a connected life, leveraging off whatever your interpretation of faith is, zone, slipstream, call it whatever you like. So long as you are connected to that, you're guaranteed of not being disempowered. That's a fact. The second thing I would recommend, how many books do we need to read that say, be careful what you think, your thoughts create your reality? Well, they bloody will do. But we as human beings are very undisciplined with reference to where our thoughts are focused. So my mantra that I live by in life is, you got to know what your game is, people. You know, if you don't have clarity about what game you're playing personally and professionally, how on earth can the universe deliver it? So that's the first thing, because human beings are addicted to confusion, because then they don't have to be responsible. Bloody perfect strategy. So being very clear about what it is that you want, what your game is, like I'm very clear on what my game is. And so I apply this in my own life. So I'm a walking example that it's unbelievably beneficial. So the mantra is think, do, say, be, forward the game. So moment by moment by moment, is what I'm thinking congruent to forwarding my game? If it's not, I don't think it. Is what I'm doing congruent to forwarding my game? If it's not, I don't do it. Is what I'm saying congruent to forwarding the game? If it's not, I don't say it. And in who I'm being, just on a day-to-day basis in my world, is it congruent to forwarding my game? If it's not, I don't be that. That simple mantra is so effective. And, you know, people often say to me, Sally, do you mean to say that I have to monitor every single thing on every single day? You know, I go, yeah. In the early phases, it's a bit like when you're a 15, 16-year-old in the car learning how to drive. It's all a bit clunky. You're unconsciously incompetent. Get in the car now, you don't even think about it. You're unconsciously competent. So I'm unconsciously competent in my ability to co-create. Because it's free, it's on tap, you know. Humor would be my number three. Because when you become the observer of what is, not how it could have been, should have been, wanted it to be. I mean, I've been made bankrupt. I've been fired. I have had every dysfunctional, I've been an addict on every level. I have experienced things in my life that most people would never have survived. I understand dysfunction. I understand adversity. It was a powerful apprenticeship to do what I do today. So there's not many shoes that I sit in front of where I don't have integral understanding of dysfunction. So yeah, I have a doctorate in every dysfunctional aspect of the human psyche. So I've been an addict on every level, sex addiction, drug addiction, alcoholism. I've had the plethora of being addicted to any external substance. I understand dysfunction integrally. So I speak from a lot of experience. So SSD that I touched on before, serious significancy and drama. We need to learn to be the observer with humor. So I use Ernie from Sesame Street. Finding something that interrupts your behavior, state interrupter. So I use Ernie in a lot of retreats. So it's always very amusing. It always gets a bit of a laugh. What is it? What's a code word that you can use that can interrupt your behavior? Take the focus off the SSD dynamic, the future-based projecting. Come back to the present, kind of like it's you're interrupting the rabbit hole that you would normally go down. And you've then got an opportunity to choose. You've got a choice on how you feel, choice on how you react, choice on what you do. You get choice, choice, choice. Choice is the biggest distinction on the planet to reclaim your power. Again, if you're not clear on what it is that you want, you can't make the right choices that's going to change the dynamic. If you're in a situation where you've been impacted by COVID-19, at a level, who hasn't? At the end of the day, we can either celebrate the opportunity or we can go into victimville and not take responsibility, because we are always left with choice as to what it is that we do.
That's perfect. And it's amazing, because if you really break that down in simplicity, I'm just hearing connect to oneness. I'm hearing find some congruency. And does this better me and move me forward? And third, have an interrupter when I jump into my patterns and cycles. That's it. It's so simple. But the thing is, we love our patterns. Our patterns create the illusion of comfort. We, like you said, we jump into this thing where uncertainty seems so scary, when that's the platform for creation. That's beauty. That's childhood. That's
oh, you got me started now, Scotty. So most people live on the court called want versus the court called committed.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to get the results from the court called committed, but they're not actually even on that court. So, you know, to visualize two tennis courts and that court's called want and that court's called committed, people go, I want to have a great relationship. I want to be able to change what I want in my life. I want to be able to have more money. I want, I get you want it, but are you willing to be the person who is committed to die to that old level of identity? So I specialize in what I term the default disempowered identity or the default blueprint. I believe every single individual has an individual blueprint that they're not even aware of that's running their lives. So if you're disconnected, you're hanging out in child mode. If you're connected and empowered, you're in adult mode. So we have a lot of little boys, little girls running relationships, little boys, little girls running businesses, little boys, little girls running their lives. So if you were to look at a photo of yourself between the age of 3 and 5 and reconnect to that little boy or little girl, at the moment, if your life is being experienced from a disempowered perspective, you've got your little boy or little girl running the show. And I tell you, there's a lot of CEOs that fit that category.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, they're very good at wearing that mask and hiding behind what people see in the moment, but all decisions are based from that default state. It's apparent.
Yeah, so I'm big on reverse psychology. When you want to back out, go in. So when you're feeling uncomfortable, resistant, confronted, resistant, and uncomfortable, go to that. It's just a feeling. So as a change agent, you need to live in those shoes. So I go looking every day to be confronted, resistant, and uncomfortable. There's not enough being taught about resistance, because if you're committed, you need to be resistant all the time because you're pushing up against what it is that's familiar for you. I mean, the elite athlete at 4 o'clock in the morning has exactly the same feeling as somebody else in the morning getting their ass out of bed. However, they're the ones who do get their ass out of bed because they are integrated and aligned with that identity. Somebody who's single, wanting to be in relationship, if you haven't done enough work on your default, you're going to sabotage the relationship. Money. Somebody who's struggling financially and then all of a sudden you receive money, if you haven't done enough work on your default, you're going to sabotage. Weight's a really great example. You are overweight, you lose the weight. If you haven't done enough work on the default, you're going to sabotage back. So being able to partner people, so where I specialize is a sea of coaches out there, is in the area of sustainable change. If you're going to invest money into change, let's make sure it's sustainable. You have to do the work on your default to be able to sustain that which you say that you want in that world called committed.
And honestly, you know, we talked about that the other day. It's so beautiful because you can sit here and, you know, you can be coached. You know, say, for example, a personal trainer. If a personal trainer tells you how to do every single exercise perfectly and make sure that you're doing everything correct and as far as physically you're doing it all right, but doesn't help do the mindset shift, it's not sustainable. It makes no sense. And what you're doing is you're going to that core right off the bat and just saying, this is where you fall into every time you jump in your cycles, and you're teaching how to remove that. That's brilliant. It's simple and brilliant.
Well, I can give you a good example. So I've had body dysmorphia issues. I have been separated from my body for many years, self-hatred, lack of self-worth, you name it. And then I went to body sculpting. Go figure. I'm a bit of an extremist. And so I had a photo of Corey Everson on my fridge for years, thinking one day, never thinking I could believe it, that I could actually have a body like that. And she was one of the early bodybuilders in the States. And
yeah, I remember.
Yep. And then I achieved it, and I was in the body sculpting regime for about 3 years and was walking around in a 10 body. I competed at 58 kg, 6% body fat. It was extraordinary. I wanted that. I achieved it, and yet I still wasn't satisfied. So I believe the biggest addiction on the planet is being addicted to dissatisfaction. Having worked with millionaires, billionaires, celebrities, politicians, high-level key influencers, they are as dysfunctional as those that haven't got what they have. So there's something about the human psyche about, so when you don't have it, you're dissatisfied, you get it, and you're still dissatisfied. And I proved it for myself. I hadn't done the work psychologically. I'd done the work physically, but I hadn't done the work psychologically at that time to be able to sustain it, which gave me great, truly understanding that even when you achieve what it is that you say that you want, you know, if you haven't done the work on that default identity, then it will directly sabotage, which is a sad indictment on humanity, really.
It's a sad thing, but it's the way we've been trained and the way we've been taught. And I think we talked about it when you and I were on that Friday Night Live show. There's no such thing as there. It's the process. It's enjoying the journey. And we've heard it, and we've heard the cliche, but not all of us know what it really means. I mean, I was there. It's one of these deals where you're studying, you're going to get your MBA, then you're going to get the great job, you find the great wife, you find the great car, you get the house, you get the second house, you buy land in another country. It's amazing. It's so great. Isn't it? It is. And they're just still begging for external validation that you want someone to tell you you've made it. And you're like, well, where's that great feeling? And that feeling literally could come with nothing or everything. So you can get the feeling at the base and then get all those things, and they just make your existence better. But America, the world, especially America, but the USA definitely, but the whole world does not teach you that. We're taught to bust our butt in school, go chase this, go chase that, get the perfect body, get the perfect partner. And we never step into the fact of just enjoying the moment, just taking that deep breath.
Yeah, it's definitely not unique to America. It's a human thing globally.
No, I know. And you know, I've traveled a lot, but you know what it is? I've seen, it just feels worse here. It feels worse in the Western world. It feels everywhere, but you know, I feel it here, and it's difficult to watch.
Human beings live into, this is when I get there, it's going to be better then. So when you ask somebody, how you going? I'm going, so I'm getting there. Where is that place called there? You know? John Kabat-Zinn wrote a book called Be Here Now. Amazing book. I've done 30 years of meditation. I love everything about the breath. Even that, you know, for your listeners today, if you have contemplated meditation, if you've felt frustrated by the meditative process, especially now, if you want to completely transcend your life, learn to meditate. Being able to silence the monkey mind is absolutely priceless. I just wanted to touch on, though, the ludicrousy cycle that I observe within humanity. Also is the throwaway lines, I call them relinquishment buckets, that human beings use. I don't have enough time, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough money, I don't know how. Confusion is the biggest strategy from the default mechanism. And illness. People love manifesting illness to have to relinquish responsibility. So I led my own retreats, 3-day retreats for 10 months of the year for 10 years. So it was a really good research study. And I'd do a round robin in the group, and I'd ask people, so what are the throwaway lines you use? They go, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough time, are the two kind of like main ones. And you do the round robin in the group, and I go, isn't it interesting that we have an unconscious, automatic, negative affirmation that we relay, and then we wonder why our reality shows up the way that it does, right? Language creates the reality of your world. If you want the reality of your world to change, change your language. But you've got to be conscious of what's coming out of that mouth of yours. So for your listeners today, being able to distinguish where they get to relinquish responsibility, it's called the ludicrousy cycle. Again, get a sense of humor, people. We all do it. They are stock standard entrenched within human beings. So being able to identify it and being able to do something differently. Because if, say, for example, if I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, somebody who's committed will find the time. Somebody who's committed will find the money. They won't tolerate that as an ongoing toleration. That's another exercise I do with people. Identifying the 50 things that you tolerate. It's like doing the dishes. You do the dishes and then there's another set of dishes. Being able to identify, you know, it's all very well to have goals and go for goal setting, but there's also an undercurrent that's actually usurping the achievement of those goals called unconscious toleration. Tolerations is a persistent complaint. So anything from financial tolerations, relationship tolerations, organizational tolerations, attitudinal tolerations, there are a plethora of things that we are tolerating and we operate over the top of. Anything from I walk into my bathroom and I see the cabinet door they've been meaning to fix for more than a year. I get into my car and my car's not valeted. And women, they tolerate, you know, not having the right lingerie that they want to wear, whatever it is. Those little things add up. When I work with a client, I normally identify 50 in all those different areas. And then as you're taking action with reference to your goals, also take action every week to maybe take on 3 of the things that you're tolerating. Because living a toleration-free life has you die to SSD, serious significancy and drama.
That's amazing. And there's so much simplicity to that. But COVID for my wife and I, we realized all those things we were tolerating. Like, well, why didn't I fix my bike? Why didn't I fix the deck? Why didn't I fix the car? Why didn't I do this? And the truth was, I feel like maybe it was a little bit of me saying, I don't have time. And then suddenly you're sitting there with all the time. So you do it and you realize both of you feel better after. Because now these things are off the plate. She's happy. I'm happy. I'm like, wow, that looks really good. So it's little simple things that are within our ability to fix. And then it just kind of frees up the moment. I think one of the reasons we get stuck looking in the future or the past is we put all these things on our plate and we create noise. And when you remove that and you're sitting in the moment, you start to realize there's no there and it's okay. Mm. I'm sitting in this beautiful existence. I'm on a podcast with you right now. We're sharing great information. We're serving other people. I'm okay right now. And whatever I do 20 minutes from now is going to be great. It's all beautiful. Mm. And I think we've lost that as beings. And we've got so caught up in, oh, if I was only like yesterday or tomorrow will be better. Once I get married, once I buy my house, once I pay my bills, once I get the car. Really stop and think about any of those things. Did any of those ever change your life?
One of my favorite words is equanimity. It'll probably be my next tattoo, actually. The art of equanimity, living in a quantumous life, the ability to be the observer of what is, not how it could have been, should have been, wanted it to be, I think is priceless. And especially in our day and age where our world has become so addicted to consumerism and materialism. So again, for your listeners today, as far as, well, what does equanimity mean for me, is the ability to be able to realize you cannot suffer in any moment of any given day if you are not making something mean something. We are meaning-making machines as human beings because we're fundamentally disconnected from our source. We were born connected. Whatever you view that we're connected to doesn't really matter, but we were born connected fundamentally. That was your birthright. The idea of being born fearless, you know, it's like that was our birthright. It's not something you actually need to learn. It's something that you need to reclaim. Mm-hmm. I personally don't buy into feel the fear and do it anyway because that brings fear impetus that it actually exists. Here's the irony and here's the humor. Fear has no power. Fear doesn't exist. To the acronym for fear, from my perspective, fear is but a barometer of your disconnection from your faith because faith is about walking it. Most people, when they hear the word faith, they immediately collapse it into religion. And I'm respecting your listeners, those that are religious, I celebrate that. Those that aren't religious, but, you know, do have a faith or a spirituality or whatever, I celebrate that too. We have no right to judge, you know, what people believe. However, whatever your faith is, here's an opportunity right here, right now, because I believe all of the acts of God that are occurring, from tornadoes to earthquakes to tsunamis to pandemics, are an awakening en masse for the planet to connect.
Yep.
We're not listening, people. We need to connect, you know. They're trying to get our attention. Tap on the shoulder, you ignore it. 4x2 at the back of the head, you ignore it. Mack truck. Here's the Mack truck, you know.
We've talked about that so much. There's no doubt. I have a freight train, Mack truck. We're getting hit by it, and hopefully people don't need to come back into multiple more lifetimes to learn those lessons, because you and I have had some independently where we've woken up. This isn't independent. This is the all of source. All of us at once are being forced to learn these lessons. And if we retreat, go to that place of certainty, that's just an illusion. The minute we accept uncertainty and accept that taking a breath and being in this moment, there's beautiful opportunity to play and have joy in our lives and create and just have fun. And you can have so much fun in this world, and we've forgotten that. Mm. We really have.
I'm just really conscious of those that are hurting out there and who might be listening today. Two examples, like I'm having a low moment or I'm having a bad day. You cannot have a low moment or a bad day if you are connected. It's just not possible. And when you are having a low moment or a bad day, it is only ever, I love bringing simplicity to complexity, it is only ever a function of being disconnected, feeding these past and future-based projections. Have a look at the degree to which, when you awake of a day, to be the observer, you know, that moment that you view something, I'm feeling low right now. Got it. Okay. Be the observer of that. There's a difference between using that as an access point. So I call it the default because we automatically default to the disempowered state. In that moment that you feel disempowered, use that as your access point, but change the focus. Okay. I'm feeling low right now. Okay. What's actually really going on? Oh, I'm disconnected. What am I feeding? Am I out there feeding the past? Am I out there feeding the future? Am I doing both? You know, in that worry zone, acknowledging that, okay, I'm in my child, in child mode because I'm disempowered. I'm feeding these projections. I have a choice in this moment to reconnect to changing my focus. Now, working with people around what are they motivated by? If you don't know what motivates you at your core, you can't sustain change. So I'm motivated by love 24/7. That's my core motivator. That keeps me in check. Anything that's incongruent to that, that's where I can, you know, be my calling card. So highly recommend those that are listening today that they get really clear on what are your core motivators? Are you motivated by faith? Are you motivated by love? Are you motivated by freedom? Are you motivated by fun? What are you motivated by? If you want to feed anything, feed that. Be careful what you think. Your thoughts create your reality. You have no idea how frigging powerful you are, rather than hanging out in the stinking thinking, being able to choose differently based on your commitment. So there's a question for you today. How committed are you to reclaiming your power moment by moment by moment? That might be a good one to answer right now.
That is a good question. I wish we were, you know, again, we're going to have this recorded. And of course, we're going to play this out on a Facebook Live and people can answer those questions. I'd love to plug that in and get those answers from everybody at that point. So let me ask you another question, Sally, that I think is very important for everybody. some of our listeners will definitely be business owners or people in managerial roles. I know that you're doing a lot of stuff right now, you know, to support managers, to support businesses that have had to shift gears or something's not clicking. What can they do and how can you assist them?
Cool. So three recommendations for those that are listening from a business perspective right now. So my background is in belief, behavioral, cultural change, implementing cultural change on a large scale within organizations in my corporate life, as well as what's termed program portfolio and project management. So program management is being able to have real-time visibility of the entire global program of work within your organization. What's the scope of the program of work? Portfolio management is ranking, weighting, and scaling every single investment within your organization against that program of work, your vision or your strategy. And then project management is obviously the delivery piece to ensure that you bring things in on time, in scope, within budget. So in saying that, to be able to alleviate the concern that's in your business right now, if you don't run a centralized issues register, for God's sake, implement one like yesterday. And more than happy to provide that template to you, Scott, and you can send it to your people for those that are interested. But it's a stock standard issues register, 24 hours, 7 days, 30 days, 60 day turnaround. Every single person within the organization should know the protocol for how to fill out an issues form that gets submitted to a centralized issues register so that you have your finger on the pulse. So there should be no complaint ever in an organization if you run a centralized issues register, because people have the opportunity to articulate what it is that's going on for them. You need somebody who's in charge of the register to be able to obviously monitor and streamline the issues if they come through. But being able, if you tolerate in an organization these so-called things called problem issues and challenges, because the issues register, which is what I love about project management, but OCD on this case, from an organizational standpoint, you need to have your finger on the pulse. You need to understand what's actually going on. You need to understand the psyche of what's happening for your people at the front line. And the issues register can highlight everything from an external or internal perspective. It's very easy to implement. It actually is a great investment into your people because the people from a cultural standpoint feel as though they're being heard. That's one of the biggest complaints that people feel within an organization. You don't hear me, but all this is going on and it's a repetitive dynamic. If you're running a centralized effective issues register that's giving you visibility to the dynamics all the time and you've got your finger on the pulse and you have the meetings that are constantly reflecting that and your word with reference to addressing these issues, and if you as the leader of the organization, fish stinks from the head down, that's where I focus, you and your executive team being able to have individual issues registers from all the different, depending on the size of your organization. So my first recommendation is an issues register so that you can get the kind of like the litmus test on what's going on in your business. So I don't care how many freaking issues are raised in the early stages. You might get thousands. It's all good. View that as a good thing because then you know what to go to work on. But you need to understand what is going on psychologically within the business and that it's a very helpful tool. It's very easy to implement. It takes something to manage. I'll admit that. That would be my first recommendation. Get your head around what's actually happening so that you can actually start addressing it. Number two, I love the book Good to Great, Jim Collins, where he talks about, you know, most people think that people are the best asset in your business. And he went, no. He goes, the best asset in your business is people on the right seat, on the right bus, going in the right direction, right? So valuing your people in a different way, because here's the thing, what this COVID-19 thing has done, it definitely has highlighted you're supposed to be superhuman in the leadership space. Here's the deal, we're not. So your people right now have solutions to the dynamics that you're dealing with. If you ask them, interview each of your people within the organization. How are you feeling? What's going on for you? What recommendations would you make? If you were made CEO in this organization tomorrow, what would you do? You know, get a series of questions and actually ask your people. You pull all of those responses from all of those people. Ask them, how do you feel if you're the leader or the CEO of the organization? How do you feel as though I'm going? What would be three recommendations that you would give to me? Put yourself on the line with your people. Have your people contribute to you on what could be possible. That's my second recommendation. Interview your people. Your people are in your organization. They care about your product or your services. They will have solutions on a collective mass. Wow. You know, what could be possible? And number three, numbers, numbers, numbers. If you're not in communication with your creditors, especially with the dynamic of what's occurring right now, everybody is aware of the situation. Creditors, 99.9%, are far more amicable and supportive if you're in communication. So no avoidance in the financial arena, be in communication with your creditors, which again kind of like has me touch on the EAP programs, employee assistant programs that we have in corporate. To me, I believe here's an opportunity with this COVID-19 situation to actually change the dynamic from it being when somebody is suffering, when somebody is impacted, that then they go to an employee assistant or somebody who's approved within that criteria. Instead of that, why don't we actually do it when people are feeling great, when people are feeling successful? Why don't we broaden who we have on our EAP programs? You know, the likes of yourself, Scott, and the likes of, you know, Chris Roush, who you work with, you know, two of you being, you know, on tap within these EAP programs that they have out there in the corporate land would be unbelievable. You know, buoying people, not just when the ambulance is at the bottom of the cliff, not just when you need a counselor or psychotherapist or whatever, you know, it's kind of like, let's transform the whole employee assistant program to be a program that is there supporting your people in the evolution to achieve far more than they are currently achieving. I just feel that there's an opportunity because we need support, regardless of what level of the organization that you're in. Support is integral. So being able to get into a habit of asking for help, allowing contribution, making requests every day is really good to get into because that's more of an abundance mindset.
So there's two things that you said that I love there. I heard the synchronicity between the micro and the macro there, the individual and the company. So connection's a big thing. Again, you're saying having that conduit so that you're looking at issues, that fact that you can be transparent and communicate is huge. The other thing I love is the EAP with proactive versus reactive, because here's the deal. One of the strangest speeches I was ever hired for, and I went into it, you know, as a speaker, you say, sure, 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 I can do that, and it will be a great speech. And then you say, wait, can I really do what I said I can do? And it was a furniture company that was having the best year ever. And they paid their salespeople exclusively on commission. And they were making three times what they're usually making. It was a couple years ago. And it was exploding. The owner called me, he said, what can I do to prepare them for when things are back to normal? Because these are salespeople who aren't used to making this much money. They're out overcommitting, overspending. Can you come in and help me prepare for normalcy again? You know, just help them deal with their money now. So exactly what you're saying, I went in and I spoke to them about, this is what a business owner would do when they have up times and down times. This is where you put some money away. This is where you say how blessed I am. This is where, and most of them responded pretty well. And later when things did, you know, shift a few years later, you know, I spoke to him again and he said, you know, a lot of people listened to that message, which was great. But what if that was never even there? I mean, what if they all didn't? And of course some don't. People are in their patterns, like you said, they're in the default, they're gonna go out and spend, they've never seen this much money, they're gonna throw it away and then go back to poor me and victim mode. Those are things that need to happen. Transparency in the organization, that communication, the idea of proactive versus reactive, absolutely huge. So how could people get in touch with you? You know, because I know you've showed me some of the stuff you do specifically, and I love the fact that you've got very short, to the point, no BS programs, and they're quick, they're affordable. What do people need to do to get in touch with you, where if they have a specific issue they want to work through, they can get in touch with you?
Yep. Just quickly before I answer that, comment that I made before around writing 50 things that you're tolerating across all those different dimensions, attitudinal toleration, financial, that's really powerful in business. You're the CEO of the organization, you've got 8 people on your executive team. If each of you were to write 50 things that you're tolerating in the business right now, pull all of those things, you know, what are you consistently complaining about? You would have a brilliant, and regardless, you know, you'd end up with quite a plethora of things to see things from each other's perspective. Co-creation is powerful. Being able to actually collectively get everybody's viewpoints, I think that would be epic. So, I'm just really conscious of what people are experiencing out there. So I've put together some immersion type sessions. They're about an hour and a half, really quick, come into the call. Found 5 areas that I believe are really key right now for being able to assist people both personally and professionally. So just really quickly, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best business medium right now on social media. I've cracked the code on how to use it. It's an hour and a half session. Come in thick and fast, and I'll be able to provide you with a 3-prong process, about 15 steps. If you're wanting to generate consistent leads through LinkedIn and be able to show up on LinkedIn, be able to claim your space and reach and network some extraordinary people around the world, that's a really powerful session for people in business. Mastering the art of closing. I have a huge issue with people who have a deficit in the area of closing specifically. They might be good at enrollment. They might be good at every other aspect of the sales process. But if you don't gain mastery in the area of being able to close people, then you will not be able to sustain keeping your doors open. So I specialize. I'm the queen of closing. So mastering the art of closing, an hour and a half session, come on in. I'll be able to get some live coaching on any issues that you have on how do you close in whatever product or service that you offer.
And that's a huge one. For being a salesperson, I know there's a lot of people who are good at the connection and they don't finish the deal. So for 90 minutes of that, I feel like every company should use that.
Yeah. That's a big one for me right now, especially in likes of, you know, people, regardless of all the doom and gloom out there, people, there is money out there. So, you know, you've got to get out of that scarcity mindset. You know, you really have to be able to benefit your people and your business right now. 16, guaranteed elements to mastering the art of closing. So it's an audit. We quickly do it so that you can actually really go to see. If you nail those 16 things, you'll become beyond masterful within being able to close people.
I love it.
The third is in the area of communication and relationships. So obviously with the COVID-19, it's having an impact on people's effectiveness with their communication, the effectiveness within their relationships. This can apply both personally and professionally. So it's an hour and a half session. If it's a couple, you know, you're wanting to sort out your marriage, having coached 20,000 couples and being able to, even people who've been divorced and got remarried off the back of my education, I'm very effective in the area of relationship coaching and communication coaching. So whether it's personal, whether it's professional, an hour and a half of come in, give me what your dynamics are and we'll sort it out. The third is unearthing your unique default blueprint. I specialize, it's unique to my education. I'm wanting people to be aware. It's a 2-hour session. Well, it might be a 2.5-hour session, but it is an immersive session where I give you full understanding of your unique default so that you can understand how to take your power back in a sustainable way and not be impacted by external circumstances. Finally, finding the answer to why your life keeps cycling and how to reclaim your power is what that session is about. And the fifth one is live coaching. You can bring anything in. That's the area that I specialize in. I can guarantee that you'll walk away with massive breakthroughs and massive insights on whatever it is that you're dealing with. The rate is ultra cheap. I usually charge $1,000 an hour for those in the US market and for your clientele, Scott. So it's $325 US for any of those sessions, apart from the default one, which is $525 US. And quick, down and dirty, in, out, and guaranteed to be able to make a massive impact so that you can reclaim your power.
And I can guarantee you this, I've spent a bunch of time with you, Sally. So for the listeners, one of the things that a lot of these programs do is they've got structure, they're laid out, and they might say it's a 3-day program. In 90 minutes, if you're doing any of these programs or the one that's 2.5 hours, every single one of those, you'll walk away and say, what just happened to me? And, you know, I was listening to the, you know, you could use one of these for relationships too. Well, just imagine you could save your relationships for $325. I'm hoping that your relationships for you are considered priceless. So for $325, that sounds like a steal. And on top of that, I know they'd be getting some great support and great advice. So,
and look, if there's anybody interested in working longer term, I offer a one-to-one private 6-month partnerships. More than happy to again come to a negotiable rate given the situation right now. If they come through you, it's a journey. They're tried and proven programs focused on, if you're going to invest money in change, let's make sure it's sustainable. So if you're wanting to do deep dive and look more closely, they're more aimed at the leadership level, the CEO or C-suite level executives, entrepreneurs, that level. But again, more than happy to negotiate a rate if they come through you, Scott.
And I'd highly recommend any individual work or group work for a business. Any last things that you'd like to share with our audience as we part ways? Because it's been an awesome time with you today, Sally.
My parting words would be, having lived out of extreme adversity for the majority of my life, is realizing, and it's a hard one to get your head around sometimes, and lucky that I can speak from direct experience. Everything is always imperfection if you deal with what is. So again, everything is always imperfection when you deal with what is. All of human suffering, yes, is a function of what you make it mean, but it's also a function of wanting it to be other than what it is. The art of equanimity, living an equanimous life, that ability to be the observer of what is, alleviates any form of suffering. So I'm just really conscious to what people are experiencing out there. And what I'm wanting you to entertain, just entertain, is that if what I'm experiencing right now, if you've been made redundant, if you've been fired, if you've closed your business or whatever, whatever's going on, if your marriage is on the rocks, whatever's going on, try on, if that's what's happening, there is perfection in that, and if you were to view it from that viewpoint, what now could be possible? If I was to view it as perfect, then from that, you will learn a completely different level of trajectory. I've coached kids for most of my life. You look at the train track, I say to them, you change that train track 1 millimeter, the entire trajectory of your life will go in a completely different direction. It's not the big steps, it's the little steps that you take when you make a decision.
I love it. And I totally agree with that, because I mean, let's face it, living in the moment and just seeing what is from a perspective of, you know, we say the exact same thing from the observer state. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to do, but once you do it, it becomes very normal. Mm. And I know we both do that. We step back and we just look at ourselves and look at our existence and realize, just live in the moment. Stop just living in the past and the future.
Just one more thing. If we've got time. I have a distinction. It's a powerful distinction. It's called the fuck it switch. Okay. When you reach that moment in your life where you go, fuck it, not one more day. Today could be that day, people, where you go, fuck it, not one more day. What would it be like if I didn't tolerate what I'm tolerating? Whoa, baby, baby.
Mic drop. And I agree with that too. So hear that loud and clear what Sally just finished up with, because right now in life, there's so much truth to that. You can choose today to end everything that's been going on today. You can change your entire existence in the moment. And that's something that very few of us do. But for those who have done it and know it, we can tell you all day long. And I've done that in a lot of capacity. I've said, I'm no longer tolerating this or this or this. And I now realize, because I've done that in increments, I could have dropped a lot of that stuff years ago. I could have just said, no more of this. But we live in this belief that everything is what it is, and it's just who I am. It's part of my DNA. That's how my parents were. It's part of my story. Hear that loud and clear. That's just part of your story. You can shift it right now. You have the power. You're amazing. Sally, I love you. You've been incredible. I know we've given them so much new information today. So if they want to contact you, how do they do that?
The best way would be on LinkedIn. I only operate online on LinkedIn. I don't have a website. I write articles on a weekly basis, so there's a whole vault of articles there. And so LinkedIn's the best way to get a hold of me. Or, my email address is sallyjeananderson24@gmail.com.
And how do we spell that? Let's make it easy for him.
SallyJeananderson24. 24@gmail.com.
We just got to tell everybody everything too, because I don't know how many times I say Scott Gore yet and there's no E on it and the email never gets to me. Thank you guys so much. I love you so much, Sally. Thank you for being on the show. And everybody got a lot of it today. I know that. Take care and have a beautiful day.
This episode of The Awakening You is brought to you by the Speaking to the Heart Podcast Network. If you'd like to experience our interactive show notes for this episode, we invite you to visit us at speakingtotheheart.org.
The Oregon College Savings Plan can help fund your child's dreams and ideas. But it's not just for college. It's also the Trade School Savings Plan and the Books and Materials Savings Plan, even the Room and Board Savings Plan. With fewer educational expenses to think about, your kids can focus on what matters, their future. Start saving today to support your child's tomorrow. Learn more at OregonCollegeSavings.com.
These days, home is where the everything is. Your work, your gym, the kids' school, your whole life. Xfinity XFi is internet built to handle it all. With XFi, you get the fastest speeds for all your streaming needs, coverage for all your devices, parental controls, and the Xfinity app to control everything. Keep your whole house humming with Xfinity XFi. It's simple, easy, awesome. Go to Xfinity.com/XFi to learn more.